Good morning. I have to check and make sure I'm in the frame for the live stream. We're good. I've been used to adjusting things for Stephen's height, and it's a little bit of a difference. And there may be some people online who would be perfectly happy only seeing me from the neck down. But we want to try to adjust. So we're all good to go. I have a confession to make that may not surprise you. But I have been dealing with a little bit of homesickness since we got here. Most people would say, hey, you know, you move halfway across the country, that's to be expected. But I'm a big, tough man, and I promised God that as a minister, I would go wherever He took me and go through the doors He opened and not complain a bit. So it's been a little bit surprising to me of how I have dealt with a little bit of homesickness. You know, it's a little bit strange. There are certainly some things about the South that I have always had some issues with. You know, when it gets to be 90 degrees with 80% humidity at the end of February, I don't like the heat that much, and I've never adjusted to it. And for the last 8 years, I lived in Alabama, where half of the football fans there would tack on the phrase "Roll Tide" to the end of every sentence as if it were an exclamation point. And I haven't heard it in over a month. And I know that means that there are going to be people that come up to me after services and give me a "Roll Tide," or for those that are watching are going to leave that comment somewhere. As aggravating as that is, it's strange to not have really heard it at all in the last month. On a more serious note, though, you know, we have had over the last few years built up a lot of good friendships with people right next to us or an hour away from us at the most, people that we could easily go and see and spend time with, and all of a sudden those are gone. Right? And we have thankfully already made a lot of great friends. We're able to start fostering those relationships before we even got here, thanks to, you know, the internet these days. But no offense, but y'all can't replace our friends, and I don't think you expected to. And so those relationships that we had are a lot different now. Right, we can still communicate with them, but it's a lot different than seeing them face to face. And we've always lived within half a day's driving distance to family. And now when the thought of visiting family comes up, well, we're probably going to have to get some plane tickets or expect to pay for a lot of gas and spend a day or two on the road or going through all the different airplanes and airports and dealing with all that. And that's a little bit different. And then, of course, you ask the question, well, we're adults. How are the kids going to deal with it? How are the kids going to handle it? Now, this is my home, and I would say we don't just feel like staff over the last month and a half. We feel like family, and we feel like we've been welcomed into a family. But there are some holes that have been created in my life that, again, no offense, but y'all can't fill and just weren't meant to. That's the way life goes, right? Things get left behind and y'all aren't meant to be someone else. You're just meant to be you. And so it's been interesting for me to meditate over the last month and a half over the holes in my life that this move has created for me. And made me stop and think, well, what does it really mean for me as a Christian? What does it mean for me as a disciple of Christ to think about home? What is home for me? What does that mean for me as someone who is trying his best to follow after Christ? And I'm sure that if you have lived a normal life, those are the same questions that you have had to deal with as well. And whether it's just moving across town to a new home. I mean, you may have grown up here, but you move out of a house into a different house, and there's a lot that comes into leaving a house, right? A lot of new things to get used to. You start a new job, and the relationships you had at your last job are different. You're trying to figure out where you fit in this new job, and it's different. You start a new school. You enter into a new phase in your life. No matter what, change continues to happen, and we feel unsettled in our lives. We have this feeling that things just aren't working out the way we thought they would. It's not that things are bad. It's not that life is bad or these new things aren't good at all. It's just that they're different. And a lot of times we have these high expectations for new things, and then once we get settled in, what happens? We start to see the flaws and the issues, and we realize that these new things aren't really as great as we thought they might be, and don't really make us feel as settled as we hoped they would. And so time and time again, no matter what has happened, it's this continual realization that I just don't feel at home. I just don't feel like this is the way life is supposed to be. And I'm going to guess and make a broad assumption that we all feel that sort of constant nagging in our hearts. That no matter what, things aren't really like they're supposed to be. All of this isn't like it's supposed to be. The world is not the way it's supposed to be. And it's not a question of your religious beliefs or backgrounds or your social backgrounds. No matter what, that seems to be that nagging question that everyone has to deal with. Why don't things feel the way they're supposed to feel? Why doesn't life really always feel like it's what it's, I believe it's supposed to feel like? And so what do we do? What happens when we come to this realization that there's something missing in our life, that we don't really feel that purpose or that wholeness or that meaning? When we have these holes in our lives, what do we try to do? You fill them up, right? That's what you do with a hole. And we do that with all sorts of different things, right? Your job, your profession. Have you ever noticed that one of the first questions that we tend to ask people is what? What do you do? What do you do for a living? And to some extent, that's just sort of small talk, right? It helps break the ice. But once you learn what someone does, what tends to happen? You start to make judgments about them, about what they do. Is this a good job? Is this a job that I think adds to society? What does that job tell me about that person? Because obviously I can tell a whole lot about a person just from what they do, right? That's how it always works. But we start to think about, is that job really worthwhile? Oh, he just flips burgers for a living. And you eat those burgers, so obviously you appreciate what he does, right? His job has meaning and value to you. There are some jobs that we just think, oh, if I had this job, my life would be perfect. And I could never get by doing that job. But if we look at other people and judge their value and their worth and their purpose by what their job is, then doesn't that mean that we're probably doing the same about ourselves? That I find my meaning and value, my worth and purpose based in what I do for 40 plus hours a week or so. How many people love their job and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it in the world? We got a few. Y'all can come forward after the service for telling lies in church, right? Retired. Well, most of us eventually find that our jobs don't fulfill us the way that we thought they would. And so what do? We either pout about it or find a new job or just kind of get settled and realize it's not what they're meant to do. Or how often do we spend a lot of time scrolling on our phones through social media, looking at other people's lives, at least what they choose to share? And what do? We compare ourselves to their lives. I wish I had that life. I wish I could do this or that. Are we share just thing after thing? We spend all day sharing things on Facebook or Twitter, whatever it is you use. And the question is, why do we do that? Maybe it's just something funny we found and we hope it brings a smile to someone's face. Or maybe we're just set on needing some sort of attention. Of seeing if we can get people to like what we say, because that makes us feel seen when they like our stuff, when they leave comments, when they say things that we want to hear, right? Do you ever fall into that trap? Where they're looking through all these lives wishing we could be like that person because if I had their life, everything would be great. Or sharing everything we come across because if enough people like it, that means I have worth and value and people pay attention to me. They may not out there, but here they do. Or we spend hours in front of a television binge-watching Netflix or Hulu, or we just leave the TV on for background noise. Right? Anyone guilty of ever doing that? Right? Before you realize it, it's like, I was supposed to go to bed 4 hours ago, and somehow I've watched 4 seasons of a show in 2 days. Why do we do that? Why do sometimes we turn something on and we're not paying a lick of attention to it, but it's just there? Sometimes we just want to relax after a long day, but sometimes it may be that it's easier to just let our minds not think at all than to face some of the issues that we're dealing with. We have that background noise just to drown things out, just to keep me from thinking a little bit too deep. Or one more thing that we might do is spend a whole lot of time complaining about people that spend too much time on their phone or watching Netflix all day. Why do we do that? Maybe we do have a real concern about how they're spending their time and the life that they're living. Or maybe it just makes us feel better when I can pick apart their lives and find all the things that they're doing that I say, that doesn't lead to a good life. That's not how life was meant to be lived. And I sure am glad I'm not doing that. And so it becomes easy to pick people's lives apart and find all the things that we think they're doing wrong, because then I can look back and say, well, my life may have its issues, but at least I'm not doing what this person is. At least I'm not living life the way this person is, and that makes me feel a good bit better. What's the theme in all of this stuff? It's just things that we do to try to fill up these holes, to deal with this nagging question, this unsettled feeling that we have, that ultimately don't really add anything to our lives, and they don't fix the problem. And what ends up happening is that we're living moment to moment. You think that's the problem, in at least in our culture today? Is that we are just so busy, there's so much to do, we don't have time for silence, to sit back and just think about things. We don't make time to stop and ask important questions about our lives. And so we're just living from moment to moment. And the moment one thing stops, we've got to have something else to do to keep our hands busy, to keep our minds busy. I just don't know what I'd do if I had a moment to sit down. I've just got to keep my hands busy. We're not paying attention to where we're going. We're not really thinking about where these things are taking us. We're just making sure that we have something to do right here and now. And so we end up living moment to moment. And we look back at the end of the day, or the end of the week, or the month, or the year, and we think, man, I've done a lot of interesting and fun stuff. And it's got me absolutely nowhere. And I still feel lost. Things still feel out of whack. Done a lot of nice stuff, but for what? And it'll be nice to see it in my Facebook memories a year from now. Or I might cringe over what I see. But it hadn't really gotten me anywhere. And so wrestling with this question of home is, again, one we all face. Where is it that I truly feel at peace? Where is it that I can feel like I actually belong? Where is it that I can lay my head down and know that this is what life is supposed to be? There's an ancient Christian by the name of Augustine, and I love the way that he tried to answer this question. In his book, Confessions, he wrote, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Maybe you've heard that, maybe you haven't. But I'll repeat it just so we can let it sink in for a little bit. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. What does Augustine say about what we're here for? What were we created for? We were created to live in the presence of God. If we go back to the beginning of the Scriptures, if we go back to Genesis, what do we find? We were created to live in the presence of God. to experience Him face to face, to work with Him, to serve Him. And then what happened? Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That relationship was messed up. And ever since then, we've been separated from God the way they were able to experience Him. But every single one of us was created to have that sort of relationship with God. And as it stands, it's been broken. And so we have this nagging feeling in our hearts that something's missing, and it is. And it's not until we get back to that type of relationship with God that this feeling of homesickness goes away. That's what Augustine says, and I agree with. Instead, we tend to wander around from moment to moment, from thing to thing, rather than seeking after God. And as we do that, our lives end up being this chaotic mess of restlessness. We find ourselves wandering from thing to thing, trying to create some meaning in our lives, trying to create this sense of home, when God says, it's not happening until you're back with me. One of my favorite stories in the Scripture about this goes like this. And He said there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And he felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the son, But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field and he came and drew near to the house. As he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And as he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant, and he said to him, Your brother has come and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, Look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came who has devoured your property with prostitutes and you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me. And all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad for this. Your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Now, as we think about this parable that Jesus tells, we're left asking this question, which brother finds himself far from home? The younger one, obviously, right? He takes the money and runs and goes off. And he gets this idea in his mind that money and popularity and women are going to give his life some meaning. It's going to fill all these things that he thinks he's missing out on back with his father. And then he hits rock bottom and he finally realizes that even as a servant, he'd have more rest in his father's house than anything out there. He's far from home physically and figuratively, right? The problem with only thinking about the younger brother is that we forget who Jesus was talking to in this parable. And the parable is really a lot more about the older son than the younger. When Jesus tells this parable in Luke 15, he's talking to a group of people who are a lot more like the older brother than the younger brother. And he's revealing to them that they are just as far from home as this younger brother is. And really, he's talking to a group of people that are a lot like us. He's talking to a group of people who show up at the temple at all the right times. People who know the Word of God very well and work really hard at keeping it. And people who easily slip into being prideful about how moral they are compared to the rest of the world. Think about what this older brother ends up claiming, right? What does he say? "I have never disobeyed you, Father." Anyone believe that? This guy lived his whole life and never in word or thought or anything disobeyed his father. No way. And he says, I'm the one that deserves the party, not this guy over here. You ever notice that? He doesn't even call him my brother. Your son. All right, that's that trick that the parents do to let the other spouse know how upset they are. Your child. Guess what your child did at school today? You'll never guess what your child did while you were gone. Not mine. He didn't get that from me, right? But he won't even call this guy his brother anymore. Just your son. But this older brother says he's done all the right stuff. He's the one that deserves these things. And what we learn is that the older brother's sense of home is not based on being with his father as much as it is based on what he can get from his father. I've done all these things, I've done the right things, and I deserve this from you. It's a life that revolves more around what he can get. And this should leave us asking ourselves here today, why are we disciples of Christ? Because it may not be that we define ourselves by our job. It may not be that we're stuck on our phones. It may not be that we're watching too many shows on Netflix or whatever. Or even that we're picking apart the lives of other people. But it could be that we are more likely to follow Christ because of what we hope we can get out of it. And he's just one more thing that we consume to get the good life. Are we more concerned about what we think we can get out of God? Or just being with God? Experiencing His presence? Trying our best to get that same relationship that we've lost out on because of sin. Because coming to God does not always mean that your life is going to be great. It doesn't. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that if you just come and give your life to Jesus, everything will start to fall into place and life will be better and everything will be great and happy. Because anyone who's decided to follow Jesus quickly learns that's not how things work. You don't always feel settled. You don't always feel like you belong. And why is that? Because this world is filled with trouble, and this world is filled with temptation, and this world is filled with people who do a lot of things that make life really messy. And even when you come and you're a part of this assembly, you're a part of a family, you're surrounded by people who have some pretty messed up lives, aren't you? You're surrounded by a lot of people who are struggling and make some really bad decisions. And then you realize that you only add to that mess. And you're still dealing with these struggles and these issues. So when we talk about no longer being homesick, the bad news is that doesn't happen until the other side of eternity, right? It doesn't happen until the life after this life. The good news is that in coming to God, we're able to be with a group of people who are able to continually point us in the right direction. And learn to, rather than live from moment to moment, to be like Abraham, who's continually looking towards that life that comes. I want you to imagine what this parable would be like if it kept going. What do you think happened afterward? Right, it leaves us on this cliffhanger. Does the brother go in? Does he get mad and stay out? And Jesus is hoping the Pharisees will make that decision about their life. But let's imagine that the older brother goes in and he finds his younger brother and he says, I'm glad you're back. And then life goes on. Do you ever think that after that there would be days where this older brother would look at his younger brother and suddenly remembered what he did? He lost all his father's money. He went off and wasted this time. He gets to come back almost as if nothing happened at all. And then that anger wells up inside of him. Don't you think that's probably would have happened a few times? Because that's what sure happens with us. And what about the younger brother? He gets settled back in. He recognizes what he had lost. But you know, there are just some of those days where he walks by that road that leads away from his father's house. And he stops and thinks, man, you know, that really was fun out there. I really did enjoy it. And I'm older now. I'm wiser. I'm more mature. I know where I messed up. And I bet this time I'd be okay. This time I can go out there and I'm not going to lose all my money this time. And he gets that pull back out into that life. You think he would have experienced that? Probably so, because that's what happens to us, right? How many times is that situation before you, and no matter how many times you've messed it up and it's always turned out bad, you still got that little nagging feeling in your heart that says, this time I'll be able to get away with it. This time I'll do all right. We've all dealt with it. We turn our life over to Jesus and we're trying to get rest in Him, but we still find our lives being broken because we live in a broken world and we're broken people. There is no cure for homesickness until we are with God eternally. But as God's people, we can help each other get as close to that reality as possible. For now, this is my home. Not Kearney, not the Kansas City area, not Missouri. My home is with God's people. At least the closest I'll get to what home is supposed to be. God's people. Like with both brothers, God, and usually through His people, often has to take me into His arms and say, I know you feel worthless. I know you feel scared. I know you're angry. I know you're jealous. I know you're confused. I know you feel like a failure. I know you feel like life is pointless. I know that you feel like you're wandering around without a clue of what you're actually doing. But come on. There's a group of people in here celebrating. Let's go to them. And at least get that taste of real peace again. So know if you decide today that you need to fix something in your life, not necessarily going to make life easier or better, but it will put you in a group of amazing people. I can say that when life gets messed up, seeking your home in God means that at the very least, He'll either run out to you as quickly as He can and wrap His arms around you, regardless of how big of a mess you've gotten yourself into this time, and jump up and down and say, my kid is back home.
But Dad, don't you know all that? My kid is back home. He doesn't let his son finish all that he has to say. Son's got his note cards reading off this speech he's prepared, and put that down, son. It's time to celebrate. You're back home. Or sometimes God may pull us aside and say, look,
you know I love you, but you know that acting this way is not going to work out for you. It never has. It's not this time. It's not in the future. It's not going to help you. Come on, we've got other stuff to be more excited about. And I don't know where you are, but I'm going to take a guess that there are at least a handful of people here who aren't where they want to be. We're struggling, who feel that question and don't know where to go, don't know what to do. There is someone here who is ready to find home and find home in God. You just need to know that there is a God, and He has a group of people who will run up to you and hug you and celebrate you. Wrap their arms around you and let you know that they are so glad you're here. We're about to have a song of invitation. This world is not my home. And it's not. I love y'all, but my guess is that as the years pass here, I'm going to find out that y'all got a lot of issues. And sooner or later, you might come to learn that I've got a few issues myself. Just a few. But this is home. The closest thing we've got. And as we sing the song of invitation, as we sing the song of encouragement, maybe you feel out of place in your life. Maybe you have had a lot of questions. We've only been here a month and a half. This ain't a perfect family, but it's a good one. And they'll love you and they'll care for you. They'll rush up and grab and dance and sing and celebrate and just be glad you're here. Maybe we can help you today. Maybe we can pray for you. Maybe we can hug you. Maybe we can just celebrate who you are. Maybe we can help you get your life back on track and you can join us as we walk more towards that promised land. We want to help. And if we can in any way, we just pray that you let us know while we stand up and sing this song.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a loving Savior up in glory land. I don't expect to stop until I with Him stand. He's waiting now for me in heaven's open door. Feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise drifts back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.